This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This episode of the JB and Benny Blue Review is brought to you by our friends at SavageCBD.com. Get the best in CBD products and get a deal while you're at it. Use our code REVIEW, that's REVIEW, for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. Go to SavageCBD.com right now.
Hey, Bird Gang, it's your boy, former Cardinal Jeremy Bridges. Tune into the number one podcast on the web, my show, JB and Benny Blue Review, right here on KSRN Arizona.
Oh, buddy, that's right. Episode 209 of the JB.
What's good, Bob?
Review. Will, what up? Pow, we got the high.
That's Will, what's happening, boy?
Pow. That's right. Tapping with us at JB and Benny Blue on all social media. Of course, if you miss the live stream on Wednesdays, all good. Check out our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you may be listening to podcasts. Like,
Benny, you put the link in the bio. You put the link on the story.
The link in the story. I did not. If you want to, if you want to do that, Will, appreciate you. We love you too.
Love you back, boy. I'm about to drop it in right now. I was live. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to hop off live real quick.
We appreciate that. So if you're on IG, tapping with us, and of course, check out our friends at CasualSports.com. You can always run these episodes back live streaming out of Phoenix. You can watch and listen to that and all the other great shows. Shout out to our family over there and the Believe Podcast Network. And of course, make sure to tap in with our sponsor, Savage CBD. Use code REVIEW for 15% off your order and free shipping. You got sponsorship questions, you got general questions, you got hate mail, whatever the fuck you got, please send it to us directly. Benny, JB and Benny Blue Review at gmail.com. And like Will is doing, and so many of you do during our fine live stream broadcast, please make sure to drop a comment or question now. And of course, on Tuesdays, you know what time it is. It's all in the family. Shout out to our AAT Sports, all about Birds family. Boyning Bridges, live streaming on Twitter. Sir, how was the show yesterday, and what were you getting into last night, for those who want to go back and replay that on your Twitter?
Man, it was cool. You know what I'm saying? Johnny came back, you know what I'm saying? Again, shout out
Johnny
to Chip.
Shout out to Johnny.
Shout out to Chip, man, for subbing in. Johnny, you just had a bouncing baby boy. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was cool, man. It was a good show. We just really broke it down, you know what I'm saying? Like, really kind of got in depth about, kind of like we're going to do tonight, about situations and the things that we need to talk about as far when it comes to the Cardinals. And you know, again, like I was saying in our production meeting, man, like, you know, I'm a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, I'm not finna be bagging on my Cardinals, but I am finna be telling the God's honest truth about things that need to be said and the things that kind of need to happen, you know what I'm saying? There really ain't no kind of in it, man. It's just, these are the things at this point that need to happen. Our team, if not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a do or die type of situation, to be honest. And that's just true. Real.
And we'll
that's
get into
that's just
detail,
that's
sure.
Just being completely honest. So I'm glad, you know what I'm saying, we got our guy Sean McConnell on tonight, you know what I'm saying? KSRN Phoenix, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to all the homies, you know what I'm saying? Earl, Ed, what up, though? You know what I'm saying? All the homies. Jay Love.
Flex, yep.
What up,
J-Love,
Flex?
Baby.
What's happening? You know what I'm saying? What's happening? Shout out to my sons, you know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that on a later date. On a later date, you know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about my sons, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Black Cat Cow, best team That's in right. the NBA. You better know that, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, I'm ready to get into it.
Yep, coming up, we got fourth quarter State of the Bird Gang with our guy Sean, the special Bird Gang correspondent. Of course, recapping some wild card weekend and making our divisional round savage picks. So make sure to stick around for all of that. But real quick, before we drop in Sean to the stream, give the reviewers, especially our Bird Gang reviewers, what's the general mood, feeling, tempo around the greater Phoenix Desert Valley area after what happened on Monday? What's kind of the general vibe?
Confusion, folks. Confusion. Because this is a pretty accurate consensus, right? About the people. Now, I work in the gym, you know what I'm saying? I talk to a lot of people on
there. So you see a lot of folks.
And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's confusion because people can't understand and can't fathom how our talented football team is not prepared for a playoff game. You know what I'm saying? So it's confusing, man. And it's evident that it's coming from up top. Yes, players have to play when it's all said and done, but there's a reason why a week of practice happened. There's a reason why film study happened. There's a reason why coaches do film study before they even get to the players, right? So that they can put together a game plan that's going to be conducive to be successful, right? There's a reason why all these things happen. So if you're not prepared to win, you are going to show it on Monday, Sunday, Thursday. It don't matter what sport you play.
Or Saturday.
Or Saturday, right? Because it's playoff. Like, if you're not prepared to win, it's going to show, right, in the confidence level. You saw a LA team that was confident, that was prepared, that believed in their game plan, and they came out and they played with reckless abandon. You saw a Cardinal team that was not prepared, that was skeptical about what they had going on, that didn't believe they can win. If you really think that that team believes they can win, you stupid, right? I'm just being completely and brutally honest. If you believe that that Cardinal team that took that field Monday night believed that they could win in their play, you stupid. In the back of their mind, they were doubting themselves, right? Yep. And it showed every snap of the game, right? It just showed, mm-hmm. right? It showed, and it was ugly to watch. It was disheartening, bro. Like, and like I told you in the production meeting, like, and via my tweets, and I had one of my young cats that work at the gym. He was like, "Man, I went on Twitter just to see your tweets because I knew you was about to ride." Like, nah. I was not mad. I was brokenhearted, bro.
Yeah.
Right. I was literally brokenhearted. And
like a parent, you weren't mad. You were just disappointed.
That's right. You know what I'm saying? You're exactly right. So that's the love I got for this goddamn team out here in Tempe. Mother, goddamn it.
Well, listen, we're going to break it down for the last time for the year right now on some State of the Bird Gang fourth quarter with our guy, the Special Bird Gang correspondent, Sean McConnell. Good, sir. Thank you for joining us, as always.
Baby.
You know what I mean? How are you feeling, sir? You heard about JB's feeling. What is your mood around your household and your greater area, sir?
I mean, to play off the pun of what you already know what happened to me this morning, it stings. It stings.
Oh, no.
I got stung by a scorpion this morning.
Yeah, bit by a scorpion.
A baby one about the size of a dime, too. They hurt like crazy. Stings more than that. I'll tell you what. It is extremely disheartening. Like JB said, we're confused. There's a lot of different solutions that people are throwing out there, and I don't know that any of them are right. They're all so complicated, and there's not one way to fix this team, which makes it even that more depressing and demoralizing. When it was Steve Wilks, it was like, okay, this is obvious. It's the Steve Wilks problem.
Yes.
Okay, he's gone. Problem solved. You know, but this is like, we've got holes everywhere all of a sudden when it was on top of the world 7-0. Tough.
Well, listen, as you know, in State of the Bird Gang, we're going to break it down step by step with the five boiling questions. But let's focus here on the recent past / the present. As JB was alluding to, Bird Gang basically came out and never had a chance in this one, 34-11. So, Sean, starting with you, give the Bird Gang reviewers the three phases breakdown of what you saw: offense, defense, and special teams.
I'm going to start right now by saying Kyler Murray finished the game with a 7.6 QBR rating.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but, you know, hey.
7.6.
And it looked like the lights were too bright for him. I don't know how it shook out, but he looked like he was scared himself. Cliff looked like he was scared. The game looked too big for both of them. Defense, at that point, they also just weren't stopping the run. Cam Akers came in and just blew up their whole game plan.
Oh, my God. Second level's crazy.
I don't know why Isaiah Simmons had a lower snap count in this game. It makes no sense to me because
I'll tell you in a little bit. Don't worry. I'll tell you a little bit,
please. I'd love to know. But Cam Akers blew up the game plan. And then once we got behind two touchdowns, defense was already too gassed to do anything. It was already blown up. The whole game was blown up by the first quarter. It felt to me like 2015 all over again against the Panthers. It did. Mm. It felt like there's nothing we can do. We are just getting steamrolled right now. And it's frustrating. It's infuriating. But now I'm seasoned enough in my 31 years of age to know I'm not going to go break something. This is just what happens to us.
You're not a Cowboys fan, is what you're saying. You're not a Cowboys fan.
Right, yeah. They cry.
They actually legit cry. And
you're not going to throw your drink at the TV and then throw a right cross at it?
At the TV, yeah. Man, I'm not doing that.
Well, to answer your question about Isaiah Simmons, this will be the third game that Isaiah Simmons got pulled because of his run fits, right? And then they put in Vallejo, and Vallejo is a shitty tackler, right? He puts himself in position, but he always misses the fucking tackle, right? It's like,
why not play Simmons then? At least he can wrap up.
Nah, because I mean, the thing about it is that he's not putting his run fits. So defense is gap sound, right?
Yeah.
And Isaiah Simmons is putting himself out of position, right? Well, 55 does the same thing a lot, right? But see, the thing is that you have to talk about the head of the snake, right? You got to. You cannot not talk about the head of the snake. I am not giving Cliff a pass, right? I don't give a damn about his 3 years that he's been there and the production he's had. I don't care, right? Because our team has taken on his personality, and that's what's killing me, right? Mm-hmm. Our team is too cool for school. That shit don't win you nothing in the NFL. This is an intense, mean, aggressive sport. It is a game of angry men, not of who the fuck can dress the nicest on game day, right? Not of who's the coolest motherfucker on the field. That's not what the NFL is about, right? Yeah. The NFL is about preparing and going out and executing. That's who wins ball games, right? It ain't nothing pretty about the NFL. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. You can be pretty in the NBA, right? You can be pretty in the MLB, right? Hell, you can even be pretty in hockey, right? But you cannot. You can. Well, I mean, you know, some of them cats today.
Wasn't getting them teeth fixed.
We don't. We just don't know. We can't decipher what pretty is in hockey. That's all that is. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know enough about hockey to say, yeah, they pretty. Like, nah. Okay, so you can't be Joe Cool in football, man. Now you can be cool. You can be cool under pressure, right?
He's tough. BA's tough.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, you can be cool under pressure, but still, you know what I'm saying, have the wherewithal to understand that, yo, I got to be the leader of this team, and I have to be the emotional and vocal leader. Like, that's what head coaches are, right? Attitude reflects leadership. It don't matter what fucking business you're in, right? It don't matter, right? You are going to eventually take on the personality and take on the culture of the leader of your whatever. Right? And we have done that as Cardinal. There is no other solution. He has to go. Right? Now, I said it last night on the Burning Bridges podcast. Me and my ex-wife are not meant to be together. Right? And this is the analogy I'm going to use. I don't hate my ex-wife. Right? I don't hate her at all. I did at one point, but I don't hate her now. That I've grown up and I've matured and I understood now and I understand. I'm not meant to be with that woman. Right? We tried it. It didn't work. We need to part ways, right? Now, of course, the question is, well, who are we going to hire? Hey, man, it's a lot of people out there that can cultivate a young, talented quarterback. The problem with Kyler Murray is, and I'm seeing this more and more, is that nobody smacks him in the back of his fucking head and tells him not to do shit. Everybody kind of plays back and like, don't talk to Kyler because he's going to get upset. I said it, and I kept saying it to people, and I'll continue to say it. If I was playing with Kyler Murray, he would fucking hate me, right? But he would learn to respect me because I am attempting to get him out of his fuck phase, right? Boy, yeah. Get out of that little bitch-ass phase, boy. This the NFL, these grown men. We don't give a fuck what you did in Tyler, Texas. We don't give a fuck what you did in high school. We don't give a fuck what you did in college. I'll break your motherfucking Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. I throw that motherfucking incinerator. Kiss my ass, right? This the NFL, son. This the NFL, man. We don't care about what you did, right? You
so
have to
do.
Show and prove every time you touch the field, man.
The second I knew I was coming on the show, I said, okay, Kugler's got to turn into coordinator. I heard Brian Flores' name come up in this chat. Fine. Make him the headpiece. Put Kugler at the OC. And JB's going to run the O-line because he's got that intensity.
How long have we been campaigning on the show?
Anywhere.
Jesus.
Anywhere. Like, yeah, seriously, okay, K1 hasn't had one
what
single
up, what up, Tim?
When K1 is down in the count, he's out. Listen. So that's why the Rams knew, okay, we just score quick. Score quick.
Right, right. But it's about mental toughness. He's had success on every level of football he's been on, right? And I get that. But this ain't high school football and you're throwing the receivers that are all 6'3" and they'll run 10 sevens in the fucking 100. You're not doing that right now, right? This ain't high school and you're the fastest little motherfucker on the field so you can just take off and just do what you want to do, right? This is not college, you know what I'm saying? You can even do that shit in college, right? Yeah. You can get away with that there. But this is the NFL. It's only so long that fake thugs can pretend. Rest in peace to the late, great Tupac, right? It's only so long that fake thugs can pretend. There comes a time when you got to swallow your own shit and say, you know what? I got to start preparing like a man to play like a fucking man, right? Now, he's had sparks of greatness and yada, yada, yada. And yeah, he's a talented kid, but we need a coach that's going to snatch him by his fucking ear and say, son, don't do that dumb shit no more. Son, don't hold that fucking ball like that. Son, if ain't nobody open, 1, 2, 3, get the fuck out of there. Get your 4 or 5 yards, slide, because somebody going to hit your stupid ass and get 15 more yards, and now we back in the goddamn huddle. Fix your goddamn chin strap, call the fucking play. Now it's first down.
And JB, right? we got a question from my man Raul, who's kind of leaning toward this. What I'm gonna get to with Cliff? How do most fans of the Burgang feel about Kingsbury in this trend? First half of the season, 15-5-1. Second half of the season, 8-18. A great question. I'm gonna get to that here a little bit later. But JB, yeah, how do you feel about that?
So Raul, thank you, man, for the question. Cliff ain't had success on the college level, right? Let's just start by saying that, right? And I don't really agree with a lot of things that Stephen A. Smith says. But one thing that Stephen A. Smith said that I do agree with is that, Cliff, you got given a job. You didn't earn it, right? And the reason why you got given that job is because it was the trend. Keyword. It's the fad. Keyword. All right? Shanahan. All right? McVay. Right? Young coaches having decent success. So the Cardinals like, you know what? Hey, we need an offensive mind. You know what I'm saying? We're going to bring in. They got Kyler Murray. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, hey, all right, cool. No. But like I just said, okay, it didn't work. All right, but we're going to have to go our separate ways on this one, man. We wish you success, but we need more leadership. The key word here is leadership because there is no fucking leadership on that team. And for whatever reason, I get the vibes of dictatorship from Cliff Kingsbury. Right? And I'm never wrong about these things. Right? I know Brinson Buckner personally. I know how strong a personality he is. Right? Their offensive minds, and I told Benny in the production meeting, the two games that we played, probably the most dominant and the best besides the LA game, right, when we beat them the first time, right, which I think we just flat out had their fucking number, right, the Cleveland game and the Houston game. Now, Sean, you are a Bird Gang advocate. Was Cliff coaching either one of those games?
No.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. And those are the two games.
Maybe.
Those are the two games that we looked the best. Like, full-fledged, three phases of football, aggressive, mean, like, just literally. Now, we've had flashes of greatness all season. And let's be fucking real, right? One of the reasons why we run all them damn games is because our defense is creating turnovers. When our defense don't create turnovers, we are not a very good football team. Right? So that means we can't generate our own fucking offense. Do I need to say anymore? Do I need to keep talking? Do I need to continue to make my case? I'm in court right now, right, trying to get this motherfucker to chair, right? Yeah. Do I need to say anything else?
Does the four-person have the verdict? Oh, my God.
Damn, bro.
Well, fellas.
I ain't got nothing against Cliff. Me and Cliff played in the Senior Bowl together, right? I feel like, you know, he's a good dude, all that shit, but I'm talking about my goddamn Cardinals right now, man. I'm talking about what's going to be better for them down the stretch.
The passion. Fellas, I love you. You're stepping all over my questions, but it's all right. We're covering a lot of shit. It's all right.
Yeah, okay.
It's all right. Now, Sean, you mentioned, you brought up K1. 19 for 34, 137 yards, 0 TDs, 2 picks, including that underhand fucking slow pitch youth league softball shit in the end zone.
Yep.
Was he putting himself in bad positions? Was it bad coaching? Or was it just a whole gumbo of both in your assessment? Yeah,
it was definitely a gumbo of both, man. This whole thing reeks of chemistry disaster.
With the gavel, JB.
It's chemistry or disaster, honestly. I mean, I'm looking at things, and I don't want to, you know, run over through the question again, but now I'm looking at numbers. I'm looking at salary numbers, right? Cliff's on for next year still. Do they want to pay him in another
coach? One more year, allegedly.
I think, unfortunately, JB, I think they're going to keep him for this 1 year. And I
believe the same thing. And I'll say it in a minute when you're done.
But with more money, too, we got Hopkins, Watt, Buddha, and Hudson all almost doubling and tripling their salary next year. All that money is going to start to dry up, and K1's due for an extension. And not to mention, DJ Humphreys holds the second highest cap hit for the Cardinals in 22 at $18.85 million. Cutting him would save us $14 million, and he was the second most penalized tackle in the NFL.
So, with all that being said, you're exactly correct, okay? I've never been a Humphreys fan. Never. Not one. Never. I'm going to say it again. I've never been a Humphreys fan. All right. Again, yes, I do believe Cliff is going to get another chance at this, another crack at this, but that's going to put us in a real fucked up situation because after 5 or 6 games, I just don't believe that we're going to be very good. And then they're going to end up letting him go in the middle of the season. And that's just going to put us, that's going to butt fuck us even worse. Right. So this is why I'm lobbying for us to just part ways with him now and start a new regime. Right. While we have talent under contract. Right. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of money forked out. But at the same time, a good coach can come into this team right now and have success next year. This ain't no rebuild team. This ain't that. It's a difference between having to rebuild a team.
The Texans
need to be rebuilt.
Steve Wilkes said this was a retool, and Steve Wilkes was wrong. Okay,
Steve Wilkes just wasn't a good coach. Right?
No, I'm just being honest.
He's a great defensive coordinator,
yeah.
But he's not a good head coach. Is what it is. Like so, but right now, how talented this team is. Think about an Eric Bieniemy coming in, right? Think about him coming in and checking Kyler's ass at every turn. Right? Think about him simplifying an offense for him and making sure that he has somebody in his face at all times and teaching him over and over again to get that goddamn ball out of your hands.
And to keep in mind, fellas, Keim has built the track record of knowing when to pull the hook, even if it's early, when he got Rosen out of there and he got Wilkes out of there after, what, a year he did that? And by the way, I'm of the belief that DJ Humphrey should have been cut at the 50-yard line for letting himself get choked by Aaron Donald on national television. He should have been cut.
With the stop hate helmet on, getting choked.
But see, that goes back to attitude, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That goes back to coach. Now, we got an OGO line coach, but that's why I get dictator vibes from Cliff, right? Yes. That's why I get that from Cliff because he... And again, taking on the personality of your coach, Cliff likes the shine. He likes the drip. He likes the finesse. Like, I don't like the finesse, right? And offensive line coaches don't fucking like finesse. I ain't never met an offensive line coach that likes finesse. We don't fucking do finesse. Pretty don't fucking get it with them 5 motherfuckers that's in front of that quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question.
Now, I was a pretty motherfucker. I ain't gonna lie. Game day, I was put together. But put together but tough as leather, baby. You know what I'm saying? They're not, right? They're just not. So that right there is another example of the bullshit. That ain't the first time our O-line got punked this season. It's just not.
Let's go to the attitude even deeper because, JB, I think if you were in this game, when this happened, something different would have happened.
He would have got knocked the fuck out. And I know what you're about to say. When Cam Akers walked over Buddha and did the "you too small" and Hicks walked by him, he'd have got punched right in his motherfucking jaw.
I said it that night.
I knew what you was about to say. I said it that fucking night. I said I would have socked his motherfucking ass, and I'd have kept socking his ass until they pulled me off his motherfucking ass.
It's football. Eye for an eye.
I'd have beat his ass on top of Buddha. Buddha down there asleep.
The Rams kept him out for like 4 plays because they were afraid we were going to do something we did nothing about.
Buddha down there asleep, and I'd have beat his motherfucking ass on top of Buddha. He'd have got his ass beat to fucking death. That's bullshit, bro. Now, yeah. I saw people on Twitter talking about, well, he didn't know. Fucking Sean Mayer will know. He ain't know at that point. That's bullshit. You been playing football your whole fucking life. You know when somebody's knocked out. He's standing on the ground like this. He's on the ground like this. He can't move because his body has gone into shock and he's stiff. Ooh, I'd have beat his motherfucking ass. I'm talking about I'd have beat his ass like he stole something. I'd have beat his ass like he touched my mama booty.
The white meat. Hey, shout out to Bernie Mac.
I'd have beat his motherfucking ass like he slapped my little girl.
Shout out to Buddha Baker because he got released from Cedar Sinai. He's good. He's on the Bidwell Boeing.
Thank God.
Coming back.
That's the Bidwell private jet. That's not the Bidwell private jet.
Yeah, he deserved the private jet because he had a hell of a season. But look, I got a few more things for you fellas. So we can let Sean out of here. Now we kind of talked about this here and there on some of the other State of the Bird gangs, but Sean, I'm curious. D-Hop missed the playoffs with the MCL surgery.
Yep.
How much do you think his absence affected what they were doing on offense? Now, JB talks a lot about running the offense through Connor, which I think is correct. But how much do you think they really missed him, particularly when they just kind of needed a threat?
I mean, he stretches the field for sure. I think he affected Cliff and K1 the same because, honestly, I think the chemistry between K1 and Green is no good. I think he throws it to Green thinking, you're not even going to step out anyway, so what's the point? And I think Cliff doesn't have faith in Green either. I think Green's it was a bad signing. It was just kind of like a try it deal, but leaning on him to be wide receiver one didn't work out. I think it affected them, but yeah, the offense has to be pounding through Connor. I don't care if you need to get, I say keep Hudson, but you got to get four new linemen to go around him and just pound the ball. And Connor is that guy, so you need to keep him. And so, that sets everything up for Hopkins.
So with that being said, right, these are NFL coaches, bro, right? Hopkins is a big loss, understood. But at the same time, I felt like losing Hopkins would make us better, right?
Unpredictable.
Because we wouldn't force the ball to number 10, right? You got to run routes that are favorable for A.J. Green in his, 13th season?
That's true.
Wow.
So he's a big body, right? I'm a coach, right? I'm coach-minded. So, me with A.J. Green, guess what he would have been in the motherfucking slot? He would have been destroying. Between him and 86, I would have been eating lunch. Kyler would have been, he'd have had a fucking 97% completion rating, right? Because all we doing is this. And if you cover him, I'm throwing it to him. Oh, you want to, so your safety ain't over the top? Now we going to throw the ball to number 13, right? It's too fucking easy. Right? But again, it goes back to coaching, right? Every great receiver has turned into a possession receiver. Larry Fitzgerald, our great Larry Fitzgerald, was out wide when I played with him. But when I was watching him play, he was inside. Right? You know why? Because he knows how to find those zones. He knows how to sit the fuck down. He knows how to give his body to the quarterback. You mean to tell me if A.J. Green ran 17 stop routes, he wouldn't get 7 balls through at him. He would catch them bitches for first downs. Come on, man. Come on, bro. But it goes back to coaching. That's why I get dictator vibes from Cliff. Mm-hmm. Because I know somebody had to say this shit. I ain't the smartest motherfucker in the world. And I ain't the greatest football mind in the world. But I know somebody said, you know, we need to kick AJ inside, Cliff. Like, nah. He's a wide out. We're going to keep him wide. And we're going to do this with him. Nah, bro. I'm bringing him inside, and he gonna get matched up with linebackers, bro, and safeties, people that can't run with him, people that can't play the ball as well as cornerbacks who get paid all this goddamn money to play the ball and run with cats that run 4.3s.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, fellas, you've been all over Cliff, and you know we've answered this in many ways, but let's go in and shout to Roe for dropping that question because he kind of took me there. 3 years, 24-25-1, that includes the loss on Monday, and most of the losing streaks coming at the end in that November, December, when they need to be playing their best ball. So it begs the question, when you take into account everything, obviously you're still kind of in the heat of the moment from the loss, but it's also very relevant. Have they truly went as far as they can go with Cliff? Is there anything else that they can do with this guy, Sean, in your estimation?
No. As a coach, I don't know how you fix the half-season yips that he has historically. I don't think there's a solution for it other than just getting out. Because that is a historic plague that he has. They just collapse. Obviously, some guys are trying to defend him, saying college doesn't work that way. He gets into division play, and he's playing against Texas and Baylor. Fine, whatever, still. But in the NFL, three seasons, this happened this way. And they look like doo-doo the second half of the year every time. So that's a problem. Are they too relaxed? Do they not adjust? Do they not throw in wrinkles? They just same game plan every day? No, that can't work. So if Cliff is that set in his mind, he's got to go. I don't think he's going to take a pay cut and be an OC with the Cardinals. He'll probably take his tail back to like
an OC,
Northern Michigan.
Why would we want to be OC? Because he's been calling plays all season.
I'm thinking the Cardinals just trying to find ways to save money. That's all I'm thinking they're trying to do.
I'm
just trying to say.
You're talking about cutting your losses, right? November and December football is about attitude, bro. It's about attitude. Your mindset has to change when it comes to late season football. Right? Your mindset has to change. There's no other way to win, right? There's no other way to win. That's not to say that your mindset has to be different during the season or it's not right during the season, but there is a higher level. There's a heightened level of intensity that happens in November and December football. And if you're not a good coach, you can't bring that out of players, right? You just can't, right? Great coaches inspire. Let's be completely honest. Now, I understand it's professional football and everything else. But John Fox, I was always inspired to play ball for that man, right? There was never a game that I went on that football field and John Fox was my coach and I was like, Foxy, all right, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Nope. Foxy passionate about what he got going on. Andy Reid as a rookie, you know what I'm saying? Me watching him and the way that them dudes played for Andy. Right? Because they knew that he was about that life. They knew that he was in the trenches with them, even though he didn't have pads on. Right? The great ones, man. Right? The good coaches inspire guys to play through preparation. Preparation earns trust. If I know that you're going to give me the best opportunity to be successful, I'm going to go out and run through a brick wall for your ass, man. But, again, eventually the shit starts to tell itself. We have ran our course with Cliff Kingsbury. We wish you the best, Cliff. Ooh. Right? We wish you the best. And, again, I'm going to say it again, because this team is stacked. Stacked. Sean, I was talking to one of my guys at the job the other day, and I was like, think about Frank Wright being our offensive coordinator. Man. I'm going to say it one more time. Think about Frank Wright being our offensive coordinator. Now, I'm just going to break down a couple position groups. I don't think Indianapolis offensive line is that much better than offensive line. Sorry. Quentin Nelson's a dog. I get it. Right? But so is Rodney Hudson. Right? So that just kind of evens the whole thing out. And everybody else is just guys. But their attitude is different. Right? Receiving core. You mean to tell me Indianapolis receiving core better than ours? Hell no. I'm getting there. Tight ends better than ours? Hell no. Running backs. Right?
Well, better than ours?
Jonathan Taylor,
Jonathan Taylor gets a lot more opportunities than our running back. Let's be honest. He gets more opportunity. Now, he's a talent. He was a talent in Wisconsin. Shit. You know what I'm saying? So we knew he was going to be a dog. You mean to tell me Carson Wentz is better than fucking K1? Hell no. So think about that. Right? And that's why I say a man like Frank Wright, right? And I'm just watching it, and this happened after the Colts game. I'm like, God damn, like, think about Frank Wright being an offensive coordinator. What? Like, man, we would be fucking killing shit. Because he believes in time of possession. He believes in getting first downs when it's time to get first downs. He don't want to take shots on third down every fucking time it's third and three. We're not going down the field 17 yards.
Why not just give him the head coaching spot then, not the OC spot?
But I'm just putting it out there, right? I'm just talking about that. Now I believe that that little short black man that's in Kansas City right now needs to be our head coach.
That'd be nice.
I believe that shit wholeheartedly. right?
That's a hot target.
I believe because strictly because of his offensive wherewithal. He's learned under Andy Reid, right? But he's a player, right? He don't take no shit. If you ever watch him mic'd up or like watch Mahomes mic'd up and listen to him interact, this dude don't take no shit, right?
Yeah. And think about this. Think about this. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, with Keim kind of building the reputation of the dude that knows how to like pull the hook a year early instead of a year too late. Think about if he actually fires Kliff like within the next few weeks. The Cardinals instantly become the number one most desirable job on the list of the already 8 teams out there.
Why? Because like I just said, the team is stacked.
Mm-hmm. Bienemy would take that job.
It's ready to win right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready to win right now. All you got to do is come in and of course, we got to tweak some things in the offensive line. We got to change a couple things. Pew is pew. Time to let it go, big fella. You wasn't that good in New York, just to be honest with you, right? Like Sean said, Huston is the cornerstone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Beecham, you had some great years. Time to let it go, big fella. We'll just be a backup for the next few years. Right? And, they paying all that money. Get his ass the fuck gone. Right?
JB, let's get into it. Sean, you said replace 4 out of the 5 offensive line. You're talking to it. Obviously, we got to look to the future. So, Sean, what do you, as far as the biggest draft needs, free agency, and who needs to be re-signed this offseason, like who are you looking at? Because like you said, extensions are coming up, the base salaries are elevating with some of these guys. There's going to be some hard choices that might need to be made.
Well, easiest choice to make right now is you make Zach Ertz a deal that he can't refuse. You need to keep Zach Ertz.
And use him.
And use him, because obviously if we can get Kliff gone, then I'm for it. If we can get Bienemy in here, this is every fan would say yes to this 1,000 times. As far as draft and other needs, you go with an offensive line that wants to beat the teeth into the defense and pound the ball down their throats. If they can't do that, fine. If they can't even pass block, whatever. If they can run block and get gaps and get Connor going, the offense will naturally open up. It just will. And Kyler can scramble a little bit better that way, but whatever. That's all I want. I don't care if you keep the defense intact or not. I'd like a corner. I'd like another one because Marco, he trial by fire and didn't always hold up the way you wanted him to. Murph was doing a lot of the work, and you signed Butler and retired the next day. I mean, you can't do that again. So find a cornerback. That'd be nice. But offensive line, coach, that has to be hand-in-hand and get Ertz in there. Everything else right now is secondary.
Right. And I completely agree, right? Ertz is our number one priority. We want to make sure that he's straight. I think that we do need to draft a cornerback. I think that Byron Murphy needs to play corner and strictly corner. Give him one side of the field and let him have it, right? He is not a nickelback. And then Byron Murphy is my nephew, and I love him to death. I know that kid since he was a kid, right? But number 20, who we drafted, what's his name?
Marco Wilson.
He's more of a nickelback than he is a cornerback, right? He's a little undersized. Right, but he's scrappy and he's more fast switch, right? So I trust him a little more covering maybe a tight end every once in a while, you know what I'm saying, and covering a slot receiver than I do Murph. Murph is a cornerback, right? He needs one side of the field to himself. That's just the way he's built, right? Alfred, man, look, you can be a backup if you like, bro. You know what I'm saying? But we need a dominant corner, right? Free agency, we need offensive linemen. All right, we need offensive linemen. We need offensive linemen. All right, like my man Sean just said, we need gritty, hard-nosed, nasty-ass, mean, damn near dirty offensive linemen. Right?
Yeah.
Those are the ones that make the best linemen. Solid offensive linemen. I'm not looking for fucking stars. I'm looking for solid, blue-collar, motherfucking offensive linemen. Those are the ones that make the best goddamn O-lines. Right? One or two stars at best, right? That's that, right? But Mr. Ertz, yeah, he's a priority, you know what I'm saying? Because he can be the biggest X factor for us because he knows how to slip into those zones. He is a matchup problem for tight end, for linebackers, right? And then everything else, like Sean said, is secondary, right? It's secondary to us. We don't care, but we got to get Kliff out of here, right? And we got to get a strong-willed, smart, offensive-minded coach in here, right? If Vance want to stay, Vance can stay. I ain't got no beef with Vance, right? I ain't got no beef with Vance, right? None, right? We do need a couple more dominant defensive linemen. That's just being real, right? And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. Chandler Jones can go.
Ooh. Right?
Chandler Jones can go, right? He wants too much money. And righteously, yeah, he can affect games. But at the same time, I would rather have a defensive outside linebacker that can play the run and then get after the quarterback than a guy who's going to jump outside of guys and play through the outside shoulder and open up fucking C-gaps big as fucking prostitute pussy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's just being completely honest. There ain't no beef with the man, but I just don't think he's got to the point where he's older, right? And I watched him during the game in L.A. where he was contained. All of a sudden, he jumped inside and made it a problem, right? That's undisciplined, dude. Like, he can go. I'm just being honest. He wants too much money. He's going to be a problem. He can go.
Well, fellas, the post-mortem for the BG season, finishing 11-6, second in the NFC West, first playoff appearance in the last 3 years. And, we'll see what transpires this offseason. Sean, we appreciate you. We know it may be a little while before you're back on, but of course you're welcome to join anytime with some Suns talk. But plug the Casper and family, what you got coming up, what shows are on the slate, all that good shit, sir.
Yeah, we're still trying in the reboot mode. Earl and I were trying to think about how we're going to do this next, make it work for us both because, you know, the jobs are taking higher priority on the real stuff. So KSRNAZ.com is still a thing. Casual Sports. Anywhere on social media, you'll find us. We're still posting stuff. We're still active. But we're going to retool, just like the Cardinals hopefully will.
All right. The offseason needs the retool.
We need that.
Well, listen, according to JB's assessment, Chandler Jones might be available. So, maybe get him on a podcast, have him start his own show, you know?
Hey, that's
the next career move. All these guys, when their playing career is done,
think about tomorrow. Got to think about tomorrow, baby.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. McConnell, we appreciate you so much. Shout out to you and the whole Casual Sports family. And don't get stung by any more scorpions, baby.
Yeah, man. Leave the scorpions alone, man. They're dangerous, bro. They this big, but they're dangerous, man. They mean. Oh, they mean, bro. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Goddamn. Mitch. Oh, what is Mitch chiming in with? I do have to say, it's weird that the Cardinals overachieve what the most of the KSRN crew thought would happen, including me, and still want Cliff fired, including me. It's interesting, you know, you mentioned that because Earl and Ed and some of the cats, you know, were a little down on the BG. I think they said about a 5-win season this year, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a little different, you know what I'm saying, but what Ed and Earl were saying, they were saying that this wasn't going to be shit. Now, again, I stated it, I don't believe, I told them that the only problem I had was Cliff, right? My only concern was Cliff, you know what I'm saying? I said that shit,
they
won.
Your third eye was open on that one. Good God almighty. Oh, my God. Well, Sean, we love it. We appreciate you. And we'll see you back here on soon, sir.
Thanks, brothers.
Pow, pow, pow.
Have a good one, brother.
Yeah. Pow, pow, pow. All right. Shout out to our guy, Special Brigade correspondent, Sean McConnell. And again, if you're just tapping in like everybody else is, make sure to drop in a comment or question right now. And of course, tap in with our sponsor, SavageCBD.com. Use code REVIEW for 50% off your order and free shipping. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to follow us at JB and Benny Blue so you don't miss anything from this fine Savage broadcast. All right. So, JB, we wrung out the sponge. We wrung out the goddamn sponge. Mitch said 10 wins. I got 11. We got to run that back. I need to fact check that, Mitch. I don't know if you said if you got 10, if you get 10 wins.
Shut up, Mitch.
Right. In fucking unison. Shut up, Mitch. All right.
Shut up, Mitch.
Well, we wrung out the sponge on the BG, so we got to get into it right now with some wild card weekend recap. Pow, we had some good games. I got to say, the Bungles edged out the Raiders 26-19 for their first win. Playoff win in 30 years right there in the big Chili Bowl. JB, did you watch this game live? And if so, what did you take away from this one?
I didn't watch none of the games really, Benny, to be honest, man. Like, I just knew the Bengals were going
to
win this game.
You're supposed to lie, damn it.
No, I'm not. You know how I tell the guys honest. But I just knew the Bengals were going to win this game. I just too much firepower. I felt like the Bengals defense would step up. The Raiders... And again, I'm going to give all credit to the interim coach of the Raiders, right? He did great things, and I think he should be the head coach going forward for them because they love that man. And again, as I said earlier, when you fuck with a guy, you're going to play hard for a guy, right? But I just felt like, you know what I'm saying, the LSU connections, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, so Burrow, Chase Young, them boys, they got chemistry. And they have a championship pedigree. Even if it's not on the level of NFL, they have a championship pedigree, you know what I'm saying? So they're used to playing in big games, and it ain't no thing to them. So Burrow equals Joe Cool, meaning he's cool on the fire, right? I just felt like they had a whole lot more than the Raiders, and yeah, I mean, it just was what it was. Not to say that the Raiders was trash. I just felt like the Bengals was just – I just felt like they were too much for them.
And by the way, you know, all of these games, particularly this one in the Niners-Cowboys, which we'll get to, had one of those one or two controversial moments. The whole thing about this one is when Joe was rolling out right, he let the ball go, and they blew the whistle right as old boy was catching it. First of all, Raiders fans, I get why you think the fix is in on that one, but the reality is that was still a live ball. There were no flags, and Mans caught it. So even if there was a quote-unquote whistle, there shouldn't have been a whistle there. Right, so you can't call foul play on that one. Right. That was a touchdown.
And then it's like you said, going, and then we're gonna talk about this in a second, but like the Cowboys talking about the spotting of the ball. Bro, y'all had some of the opportunities to win that game.
Right? And that was Dak's fault, by the way. Hey, right. Dak, how about you slide before so you have enough time to get to the line? Because the ref has to spot it. First.
Yeah, get your ass down, bro, because that spot from your slide is misconstrued from jump. It's about as soon as you start it, and they have to bring the ball back because you're going to slide at least 3 yards with your momentum. So, but either way it goes, it's like you can't blame the refs, man. You had every opportunity to try to win that game. So,
exactly. Well, a game that definitely wasn't left up to the refs. You alluded to it earlier, Dr. Bridges. Oh, the Bills ran the Pats off the block, baby, like the dope game. 47-17. Ooh.
Freezing cold. In Buffalo, New York, right? Orchard Park. Mm-mm-mm. Freezing cold. It was nighttime. The Bills Mafia was fucking crazy. The energy was crazy. The Patriots came out fighting, right? But they just couldn't do nothing with the Bills, right? So, man, shout out to the Bills. Josh Allen was possessed. He played like a quarterback's supposed to play, right? You take what the defense gives you, and sometimes you take what you want. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's right. That's right, William. Don't let the game come down to ifs and maybes. You know what I'm saying? Take shit into your own hands like Josh Allen did. If I got to run, I'm going to run, and I'm going to run, and I'm going to run until I can get what I can get, and I'm going to get the fuck down. Right? And I'm going to keep the chains moving. It's about constant progression, and that's what the Bills did all game. And, of course, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the Patriots had a couple of opportunities, and, like, the interception – by Micah Hyde was, oh my God, like that was the best I've ever seen. You know what I'm saying? That was the best interception I've ever seen in my life, along with one hand grasp. But it's just the fact that I'm putting in perspective of playing this position. He had over the top, he had help, he had deep half, right? He played his fucking position. He went over, caught that ball, amazing over the shoulder catch. I mean, it was just Bills all day, man. You know what I'm saying? It was just, you know, spirit of Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas, you know what I'm saying, because they were the ones that kind of getting everybody hyped for the game, and the old Bills, you know what I'm saying, the Canis Bennett's and so on and so forth, man. It was crazy. It was nice. Bruce Smith, what up, though?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and listen, I know in our Savage picks from last week, you were expecting the Pats and the Belichick defense to stand up.
I was expecting, you know what I'm saying,
off the block, preparing, baby.
But the Bills just came out, like I said, hey, sometimes you're just going to get beat up. That's what it is. Mm-hmm.
The execution. All right, speaking of getting beat up a little bit, your drafting team got a little work from the Bucs. 31-15. Oh, Tampa Brady, kid. Pow.
Lack of preparation. Like, I'm just going to be completely honest. Like, lack of preparation. Like, their game plan was not on point. The Eagles have the ability to stretch the field. They got a bunch of speed at receiver, right? And the D-line of Tampa Bay just ain't really just been kicking ass all year like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, towards the end of the season, they've had a decline. So they could have stretched the field a lot more. We knew that the point of emphasis on defense for Tampa Bay was to stop the run because Philly had been having so much success in the run over the last 3 weeks. I'm knocking that bitch down. I'm throwing that bitch down the field. Yeah, and then Tampa Bay, they suspect anyway at cornerback, right? So, please, man. Quez Watkins, you know what I'm saying? The kid from Alabama. Oh, you got me, Smith. You got me fucked up. I'm throwing that bitch down the field. It's going to be some stop routes. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be some stop and go.
Is Sue still there?
No. You said, do they resign Sue? No, Sue need to take it to the crib.
Should they resign him? No, they shouldn't resign
him. No, Sue need to take it to the crib. You know what I'm saying? Sue done had his glory years. He done made his money. Get him out of there, right? But, yeah. So, that was just a lack of preparation, man. Like, come on, man. you got opportunities, you know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, inexperience in big games. You know, Jalen Hurts, yeah, you played in the championship game, you know what I'm saying, Alabama and all that shit, but you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Like, I just felt like they just weren't prepared to win that game. Their game plan wasn't suitable for success.
100%. And finally, oh, OG reviewers know, JB. Oh, this one brought us so much delight. Just watching the videos of the tears, the people breaking their flat screens so they can buy another cheap one for Black Friday so the exact same thing can happen next year. Ooh-wee! How about the ping? How about them cowgirls, a.k.a. them cowboys? Oh, losing in classic meltdown fashion against the Niners, which we both picked correctly.
So, as I just stated earlier, the Cowboys had every opportunity to win this game, right? But the 49ers just playing bully ball and just playing with more aggression and playing with more intensity, it just was what it was. So, shout out to Shanahan for putting a plan together that he felt like would be favorable to win. And shout out to the 49er players for executing and believing and executing. Like, it's that's what it boils down to. The Cowboys just have a way of fucking it up, right? And that's no, I mean, and there's been a lot of shit said in the ESPN. I listened to ESPN today for the first time in a long time, for a long time. And there was a lot of very relevant things said about the Cowboys organization and how Jerry Jones at this point, like him being such a huge influence on what they got going on, is that they will never be good until they get that out of there, right? Jerry Jones is not a coach, you know what I'm saying? Like, he is a pillar in the NFL and a staple because of all the things he did, and he's a trendsetter, and he's done, like, great things, right? He's brought so much success to this game. He's brought so much attention to the notoriety of this game. But you ain't no coach, man. You ain't no GM. You ain't no scout. You ain't none of that, right? So a lot of people that you hire to do their job and stay the fuck out of it. Just be the owner.
Yeah, I'm of the wholehearted belief that until the Jones family gets out of the way of player personnel decisions and general manager stuff, anything other than the actual Cowboys brand, they're never gonna be worth a damn. Because remember, Jerry ran Jimmy out of town, and it's never been the same since. It's never been the same since.
Yep.
If you think about the Cowboys since the year 2000, they basically really ain't shit since the glory days. And it's amazing how many young people, and obviously I get it, if you're from Texas, if you're family, all that stuff, I understand why you're a Cowboys fan.
We talked about this shit, Benny, we talked about this shit last night on the Burning Bridges podcast, because on Rapid Fire, one of our segments, Johnny posed the question, why are the Cowboys so relevant, right? And I answered the question very easily, right? The Cowboys have training camp in California, right? And have had it in California for years before.
They're branded very well.
Yeah, when we were little dudes, you know what I'm saying? They were having camp in California. So they went, and again, this is Jerry Jones. This is the vision of a businessman, right?
Now watch this shit right here. Watch this shit. Look at Dak. Dak, why are you taking it that far inbounds with no timeouts and 9 seconds left? You're asking your guys to sprint up to the line. They have to spot the ball. All you Cowboys fans going nuts. Of course that was going to happen. He needed to get down with like 12 seconds left. And he got down with like 8 seconds left.
Right.
But anyway, as you were saying about the brand.
I mean, and I said it, and I ended my conversation by saying, still the most marketable brand in any, besides the Lakers or the Yankees, the most marketable brand in any professional sport, right?
Because he's not good hands-on, Mitch. That's what it is. Some owners just aren't good hands-on owners. Jerry's not. He's got a 25-year track record of this.
Right. They're just not.
Yep. So yeah, that answers the question. I mean, they have one of those brands that's just nationwide. I mean, shit, being in LA, there's a ton of fucking Cowboys fans out here.
Of course, because Oxnard right down the street. So
exactly. Well, cowgirls, goodbye. Enjoy vacation. And finally, the Chiefs handle the Steelers 42-21, and most likely ending Big Ben's career. You kind of alluded to it earlier, where it's like the Cowboys or the Steelers just kind of like tripped and fell in this place. They didn't really have any real business competing at any high level in the playoffs, just watching their team, especially
so
late.
I said this last night on the Burning Bridges podcast, good riddance to bad rubbers. Big Ben, you're a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit, right? You had two rape allegations, you know what I'm saying, in your career. You're a piece of shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. So bye. I don't give a fuck about the success that you had. I don't care. You're a piece of shit. You know what I'm saying? And it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Mike Tomlin, you deserve better. 15 straight winning seasons,
yes,
by the way.
Does.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and yeah,
he does.
So Big Ben has had some success on the football field. I don't give a fuck about that shit. You're a piece of shit. He's also had great receivers throw the ball to, great running backs. You know what I'm saying? And great defenses. And great defenses, you know what I'm saying, to back his ass up. So, Mike Tomlin, I wish you all the success in the world. And I wish you a great quarterback, you know what I'm saying, to be the heir apparent to this fucking jerk, you know what I'm saying, that you had for the last fucking 14, 15 fucking years. So, Steelers Nation, y'all deserve better because they're a great fan base. They're a great fan base, right? And if you're talking about just loving their team and not being douchebags about it, they're a great fan base, right? So, Steelers Nation, you deserve better.
By the way, here's one for you. How about trying to lure Tomlin over to the BG? 15 years in the Steelers?
He ain't going nowhere, bro. One thing the Steelers don't do, bro, is they don't let good coaches go, right? And he don't want to leave.
True.
You know what I'm saying? He don't want to leave because the lineage is too strong, right? It's too strong. They take care of their people.
Haskins, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, he gonna play. He playing right now. He playing Madden right now, and that's all he's gonna play. Right? As we speak, he playing Madden right now.
Ooh wee, that's gonna be some rough sled until they figure that out.
Well, look, they're gonna draft a kid and they're gonna build around. Let's do it.
Yeah, you know. There it is. All right, that's some wild card weekend. But before we get into savage picks for the division around the playoffs, we got to see how we did after wild card weekend. And with a drum roll, please.
Oh my God.
JB is at 160, 101-1, but oh, the Blue DD is starting to fly high at 167, 94-1. Let's get into it. We both picked the Bengals correctly. Oh, JB picked the Pats, who got mollywopped by the Bills. JB picked his drafting team, the Eagles, who got ran by the Bucks. We both picked the Niners. We both picked the Chiefs. And unfortunately, we both picked the Cards. So I went 5-1. In that picks, and that's going to help. But remember, there's still some games left, and we do a full recount like the goddamn election at the end of the year. So that's where we stand in the divisional round right now with Savage Picks. Pow, pow, pow. It's the Bengals traveling down the freeway, told tighten up Titans. Shout out to Mitch. And the line is 3.5 for the Titans, who have the bye week, and getting Derrick Henry back. What you think, sir?
Tighten up Titans, bro. The fact that they're in Nashville, it's about to be a crazy atmosphere. I think it's just going to prove to be a little bit too much for the talented, exciting, fun-to-watch Cincinnati Bengals team.
I agree. I think the Titans on the strength of the run. And, you know, the Bengals got a lot to be proud of. Don't get me wrong. I would not be surprised if this game is razor close. That's a very sneaky line by Vegas, 3.5. So I definitely wouldn't trust the line. But I am, too. I'm going to take the Titans advancing to the AFC Championship. All right. It's Niner game.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang, baby. They were bang, banging out there in Dallas, and they're heading to the boom, 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 boom. Go, Pack, go. Coming off that NFC bye week, and the line is 5.5. See, Mitch, you know as much as we tease you. We got your back with Titans.
Hey, Mitch, shut up. Hey, Mitch, shut up, man. All right, Pack, man. Boom, 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 boom. Go, Pack, go. Because the problem is that one Jimmy G ain't playing, right? They're going to try to do a lot of dual run around with Trey Lance and yada, yada, yada. And that shit just ain't going to fucking work. If Jimmy G was playing, I still would pick the Pack because they got number 12. Yes. Right? Point blank, right. Period. They got number 12. And they're playing in Lambeau Field. It's going to be like 3 degrees. You know what I'm saying?
3 degrees.
Debo going to get hurt. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not wishing it on him. I just know it's going to happen. He's going to get banged up early, and that's going to be a huge problem for him. Right, that's going to allow the defense to focus on Kittles, and it's going to be a wrap. Man. You know what I'm saying? So, Packers going on to the NFC Championship.
Now, one thing the Niners do well is run the ball. One thing the Packers don't do well is stop the run. However, the temperature is going to bring that down to earth a little bit. And if you're expecting them to get into a shootout with the Pack, not going to happen. They're getting healthy at the right time. And I think the bye, they're one of the teams that is, they're seasoned enough and been there before where they really need the bye. Some teams get the bye and they really can't handle the bye.
They got 12.
And they got 12. So I'm taking the Pack as well. All right. The LA Rams into that big pirate ship in Tampa Bay, and the line is 3 for Tampa Bay at home. Intriguing matchup.
If you think the Los Angeles Rams is going to be Tampa Bay in Tampa, you fucking crazy, bro. Ooh-wee. Like, you fucking Ooh-wee. Crazy. These boys, so we about to see the Rams shoot colors, right? And what we about to see is we about to see superior coaching, right? We about to see superior coaching. So Todd Bowles is going to come up with a great game plan, which when you play the Los Angeles Rams, you have to play ball with them in their mouth, right? You got to play ball up front in their mouth. And they're big cornerbacks, but they got good safeties, right? The cornerbacks ain't that good, but they got good safeties, right? They got great linebackers, and they got a big, strong defensive front. So that running the ball that Akers was doing ain't finna fucking happen. You make the Rams one-dimensional, and they're fucked, right? Stafford on Stafford. Congratulations, you won your one fucking playoff game, but you won't win no motherfucking more. L.A. Rams, you're going down in Tampa Bay, and it's going to be a nice, beautiful fucking day to get your ass with.
Yeah, I am taking the Bucs as well. The Cam Akers that we saw last week is not going to be the Cam Akers. That's going to be doing what he did this coming week against the Bucs. Now, you know, Stafford's going to be slinging it, and they're going to keep it competitive with Cooper getting loose and some of their other cats getting loose. You know, oh, shit, OBJ might even catch one. But the reality is they have to keep up with what Brady is going to be able to do. And he's going to slice and dice, and eventually I can see the Rams quitting a little bit, losing their cool. Aaron Donald's going to try that choking shit, and it's not going to work.
They're a front-running football team, bro. Front-runners. They're a front runner. When shit is going great, they're the greatest team on earth. When shit is going bad, their fight back ain't really that good. So watch what I say.
Well, hey, we're both taking the Bucks. And finally, ooh, I'm looking forward to this one. It's the Bills Mafia.
Mafia.
Coming on a big win, headed to KC, and the line's 2.5 for the Chiefs at home.
I'm not cheat. Look, and the home of the Chiefs. Mitch, shut up, bro. I told you one time before, shut up, bro. We don't care who you got. You got the Rams. Hey, Mitch, come on, man. Well, I just picked your Titans to win, but now you disrespect me by picking the Rams. Fuck the Rams, bro. Anyway, so, yeah, Chiefs Kingdom. Man, let me look at the weather, man. I like to look at the weather, bro. You know what I'm saying? I like to see what the weather going to be. Then you got the weather. You got the AccuWeather.
And I can pull that up. And just as a reminder for those who were checking us out the very beginning of the season for our Savage season preview, JB has the Bucks and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and I have the Bucks and the Bills in the Super Bowl. So just so you know, we kind of got to stick to those. I'm just saying. But it sounds like
It's going to be a beautiful day in Kansas City, 43 degrees.
Yep.
It's going to be a
43,
So,
balmy weather. Yep.
Yeah, right. A little warm for this time of year. But that crowd, again, the Bills did their damn thing, right? They did their damn thing because of the atmosphere of Orchard Park. And if they were in New England, they would have not have played that well. I'm sorry. I don't care what nobody said. They would not have played that well, right? So Orchard Park brought a whole nother fucking energy to that team. You're not going to have that in the Chiefs Kingdom, bro, right? So Mr. Bienemy, right, and Mr. Reed, and Spag Nasty, right? They about to have a real fucked up game plan for these boys, right? Because the Bills got holes, right? If they can't attack you right now, and offensively, defensively, they're not very good, right? So, and again, if they were in New York, I'd be like, I don't know, but the fact that they're in KC, there is a home field advantage, Benny. When the crowd gets loud, the shit registers on the Richter scale. That means there are small earthquakes happening in Missouri. Extrapolate that shit.
And Kansas.
And you think they ain't finna get fucking crunk for this shit? You crazy as hell. So, I got KC.
Well, listen, I got to make good with my Super Bowl prediction, so I'm taking the Bills. Bills Mafia is going to travel.
They're going to do their thing.
You know, they're going to be there. And listen, I think this one, I still firmly believe that this is finally the Bills' year to turn the corner. I don't know if they're going to win the whole thing, but I feel like this is finally the year where they can get past that 4 Super Bowls in a row fucking curse and come out of the AFC and get there. Now, listen, if I'm a betting man, I might vote with my heart for the Bills. I might slide a little coin toward them Chiefs, baby. But I got to stick with the Bills to pull one out on some good game planning by Daboll. It's going to be a shootout. I'm thinking that this might be the most watchable game of the four. That's and I'm right. looking forward to it. But we'll see who's right, who's wrong, who's both right, who's both wrong. And that's it. Dr. Bridges, King JB, take us home, baby. Your final thoughts. We need us.
Stay y'all ass at home. And that's all I got to say. Like, for real, if you ain't got to be nowhere, stop being places. I understand. Please. We fucking mad at this whole situation, and we don't know who to fucking trust and who to fucking believe in. But what we do know is that people are getting sick left and right, right? The world is weird right now, and the only way we can protect our own and protect ourselves is to stop moving as much as we're moving. Point blank, period, right? I love all y'all. We appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all. Episode 209. Follow us at JB and Benny Blue, all social media. Subscribe to YouTube. All right, like, you know what I'm saying? Subscribe, share, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We love 5-star reviews. You know what I'm saying? Check me out on Tuesday night, the Bernie Bridges Podcast, live streaming at 6:30 PST and 9:30 EST on Twitter. The AAT Sports _ all about the birds on Twitter. Yeah, that's the fam. You know what I'm saying? Fuck with us. You know what I'm saying? Sponsorship, hate mail, love mail. We don't give a fuck. JBNBenibleReview@gmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking. We like ideas for the show as well. Yes, you know please. What I'm saying? So let us know questions you got. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. We will answer your question live on the live stream. You know what I'm saying? Savage CBD, we love you. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate you. Trends Collab, we love you. Appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? All that gear, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? All them promo codes is over because we lost it. So, but other than that, we will be back next Wednesday with episode 210. All right. That's the right. JB and Benny Blue Review. We love y'all, man. Peace, love, and fucking hair grease. You know what I'm saying? And we'll see y'all next week, baby.
Reviewers, we love you. Episode 209. Until next week. We are out. Peace. Yeah.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.